Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey folks, this is the Lakers Legacy Podcast, and we are proud to announce a partnership collaboration with a brand new podcast app. If you're looking for a new way to listen to podcasts that's a lot more interactive and fun, well, look no further than the Cooler Podcast Player on the Apple Store. The app that makes sure you never miss the hottest sports talk by the Cooler with like-minded fans and listeners of the same community. So download the Cooler Podcast Player on the Apple Store, search for your favorite podcast, specifically look up the Lakers Legacy Podcast, we are up there right now, subscribe to our Cooler page, click on one of our episodes, listen away, and then join the conversation by commenting away down below on each episode. Add some emojis, like the cringe emoji, because I know that I can be quite cringe. Ask us questions about specific points we made throughout a specific episode. The Cooler Podcast Player is essentially like Reddit, but curated and consolidated per podcast community so that you can join the conversation in a safer, more intimate, and less trolly space than other apps like X. And you can do so with other like-minded Lakers Legacy podcast listeners. Also, you're likely to find one of us commenting and replying back to you guys directly within each episode feed in the comments section. So grab a drink, make your way over to the Cooler, and join the conversation now by downloading the Cooler Podcast Player app. Make sure to add the Lakers Legacy to your queue, and let's keep the debates and discussions going beyond the final sign-offs you hear from us at the end of each episode. The Cooler Podcast Player. Listen, then speak your mind. All right, welcome everybody to the Lakers Legacy Podcast, where to D or not to D, that is the question. And by D, I'm talking about DeJounte Murray. Welcome to DeJounte D'Angelo Watch 2024. I'm your host, Jonathan Hernandez, and today I am joined by a special guest who's been here before, been on the show before. You guys may know him for his work as part of the Late Night Lake Show Collective, or on Twitter as @OSID24. Today we have on Omar Siddiqui. Omar, welcome back to the show, brother. How is the frigid air in Boston treating you these days? Is it cold? I'm assuming it's cold. Oh, you are mute. You are muted, Omar. But
already made a mistake. last week was frigid. It was in the teens. This week is considered warmer. We're in the 30s, so things are looking up, at least for now. And I'm hoping, the same can be applied to the Lakers.
That is for sure. Well, it is good to have you back on the show. Today, you are actually joining a very guest-centric episode because for this first part, Omar is obviously joining me to talk about the current state of the Lakers, DeJounte Watch 2024, what our thoughts are on the loud, swirling trade rumors going about. But then for part two, I will actually be joined by another guest who is one of our loyal Patreon supporters. He'll be part of a potentially new segment I'm trying out on the show, Omar, where in the future I'm hoping to bring on some of our Patreon subscribers to sort of just shoot the Lakers shit with me a little bit. So yeah, stay tuned for part two, where one of our Patreon subscribers, Daniel Liegman, and I go further into DeJounte Murray, as well as our thoughts on the season. But for now, I have Omar with me. He is helping me intro this episode. And Omar, the main question I want to ask you, this is like a vibe check on your thoughts on the current state of the team, but mainly I want to ask you, before we get into any DeJounte Murray talk, Are you, with regards to this trade deadline, because that's all anybody can talk about these days, just trades this, trades that, like,
yeah.
At the time of this recording, we haven't played the Los Angeles Clippers yet. We will likely lose. Hopefully we don't, but I don't think anybody cares about the game.
LeBron's
right now,
out,
right?
Too.
LeBron's out. Nobody cares about the game. All we care about is this DeJounte Murray trade happening? If not DeJounte, what about Bruce Brown? But with that said, where are you at on your trade-o-meter? Are you on team make a big splash with the 2029 pick this trade deadline, or are you on team margin moves and wait because you think that the ails of this season have come from not necessarily the players of the roster, but I'll just say it out loud, but Ham. So where are you at on those two things?
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but I think my answer is kind of leaning towards a big splash just because of how the front office has just been operated, in years past. They have, and we talked about this, I think, last year's episode, but they go after the big, you know, flashy, shiny type of names, and they don't really, and although they did make some, you know, kind of nice filler moves last year by grabbing Mo Bamba and a few other moves as tertiary moves, but I feel like, you know, there's been so much smoke, like more so around one or two players, kind of reminding of me of the AD situation where I feel like it's kind of Murray or bust. And I want to take it back, you know, back to the offseason where the contract that was offered to D'Lo and the way the contract was situated, it was already kind of a foregone conclusion where D'Lo at some point is going to be moved. You know, they didn't make it a situation where we're going to commit D'Lo, you know, to our future. So that's always been, you know, on my mind. And I feel like when I see DeJounte Murray and his contract, which is, you know, friendlier when you compare it to other contracts that have been signed by a lot of other players, that's a move that, you know, kind of has resonated with me. I know the fit's not perfect, but you know, you talk about a athletic type of player, a guard who plays a bunch of games, and as at a very reasonable contract. But we've never made the commitment or statement that D'Lo is going to be our guard. So I don't want the front office to make yet another mistake where they don't manage their assets well. You know, so that's been my mindset and my perspective where, you know, I hate to get rid of that pick because it's very valuable. I think, you know, among the teams or the suitors that are going after Murray or I guess the other players that are currently being priced at the trade deadline right now, the 2029 pick has got to be the most valuable asset, I think, aside from, you know, obviously players and whatnot. But that's where I'm at. And, you know, you kind of alluded to it earlier as well, but having an asset that's going to be controlled for a few years, I don't think Ham will last his full contract. And that's just a prediction and a thought that I have in the back of my mind where, you know, I think Murray's an exciting player. I think, you know, fans will really enjoy watching him play.
Yeah, and that's a very fair perspective because I'll get into my thoughts on DeJounte Murray in a bit, and I'll have more thoughts in part two of our segment. But to your point, I understand the practicality of the move with regards to we're not sure what D'Lo is going to do with that player option, whether he's going to take it or not. And it does not help, again, that in December, Darvin Ham decided to bench this dude and then not only bench him, but play him 17 minutes a game. That's not gonna, you know, at that point, D'Lo's probably like, yeah, I may not get $18 million on the market this year, but I'd rather a long-term deal that's around like the mid-level. You know, I'd rather take that versus going back to a team that has Darvin Ham as the coach, right? So those are some factors that the Lakers have to take into account. And so I think from the practical standpoint of things, making a move makes sense. And making a move for a guy like DeJounte Murray, who's very exciting, very dynamic. He's had like multiple back-to-back game winners recently and has been going nuts. It makes sense. But if you would humor me a little bit.
Absolutely.
I would like to take the stance of team margin moves and wait. And here's why. This is a larger sort of ideology of mine.
Okay.
At the beginning of this season, and what we were clamoring for when you were on the podcast last year before I believe it was before the Russell Westbrook trade, right?
Right, it was.
This entire LeBron James, Anthony Davis era, what is the one thing that we've been clamoring for as fans? It's mainly been continuity, cohesion, building a culture, right?
Right.
That doesn't mean ignoring upgrades at certain areas, obviously. But to me, I still think, and maybe this is very naive of me, I still think that the best antidote for this team, unless you can get a surefire star this trade deadline, and some may say that DeJounte Murray fits that bill, which is fine, that's fair. But to me, unless you can get a surefire star this trade deadline, to me, riding the wave and going to war with this group that got you to the Western Conference Finals, and even this year won the IST Championship, I think there are some intangible benefits to that. And while I know Darvin Ham is our coach and that scares the living hell out of me, the whole theme of this offseason heading into this season was building continuity and building cohesion. I, for once, would just like the front office to commit to what they say and see what happens. You know what I mean? And that doesn't mean just sit on your hands, because as I mentioned, I'm team margin moves and wait. That doesn't mean we don't make big splashes on the edges to fortify our needs and help Darvin Ham out in the areas that he's lacking in as a coach. But I think for me, it's just like there are lessons that we've learned along this way, even though it's been a bumpy ride, that I think resonate with this team and the players on this team. Even as it pertains to the IST Championship, when we were able to withstand some of those early injuries where key guys were out, like we were able to actually win that thing, you know?
Right.
And I think this team can channel something that they had last year as well, when they had to pick things up from the fly, find cohesion on the fly, and make it all the way to the Western Conference Finals. I think the biggest thing that's harming this team the most right now at current is just the trade deadline and that looming over guys' heads, right?
Oh, for sure.
I think once that passes, I think this team, and again, this sounds very like naive of me, I think, and maybe like too utopian, but I do think there's an intangible galvanizing aspect that this team will be able to hit once the trade deadline passes, once they know that the key core guys are still here, once they've upgraded on the edges. I think they'll be able to channel and tap into something that they look to the sides, they still see their brothers with them, and they're like, hey, we did this last year. We did this in the IST Championships. Let's do it again. We know for sure that nobody, that this is the group moving forward, yeah. You know? At least for 1 year, I would like to see the front office stick to the word with continuity. And I think it's just hilarious that it's like, They preached continuity and cohesion. The coach did not adhere to those rules, even when the full team was healthy. And then less than half a year into it, we're going to flip the team again. You know, so to me, yeah. It's just like, I may be wrong about this, but I just want to see it happen. You know, I just want to see us try a little bit of continuity. And as we've been seeing, like D'Angelo Russell, the last couple of games, like, so the D'Angelo Russell that we've got the last couple of games, the D'Lo who's been aggressive, attacking the basket, diversifying his offensive skill set, hitting mid-range shots, bombing threes from every direction while getting AD, LeBron, AR, Prince, and the rest of the team involved, pulling up in transition for these momentum-shifting plays. The D'Lo we've got recently is the exact type of dynamic, skilled, savvy guard who spaces the floor that a LeBron James and Anthony Davis team needs, right? We've just needed that consistent player throughout. I would argue again that it's hard to be that consistent player when your coach is Darvin Ham, but we've seen who this team can be when D'Lo is more aggressive. And in January, D'Lo has been a 22.6 assists on 52% from the field and 47% from three player. And then apart from D'Angelo Russell, as it pertains to the whole team, we've seen Vanderbilt getting healthier. He looks as healthy and as athletic and physical as he's ever been, right? Rui's starting to rumble again. Christian Wood is back in the rotation and doing some very valuable things, surprisingly defensively.
He's been
and
good.
So for me, if there was ever a group to withstand the bumps and bruises of a season and regroup and rebound, I think it's this group, like the run it back continuity group. And again, yeah. I think they'll be able to channel that cohesion and continuity and channel some of the lessons they've learned from their run last year and even the trials they've gone through this year to make a big second half run, provided that there are margin upgrades made at the deadline. And in another episode, we will get into specific names that we can talk about to improve this team. And yeah, my biggest thing too is like once the trade deadline passes, I think that dark cloud will lift over everybody's heads and we'll be able to have more aligned vision. So again, I may be naive. I'm not saying I don't want a DeJounte Murray deal because I have really liked some of the aspects that I've seen recently from his game. But for me, the team, Rob Pelinka, you committed to continuity. Actually stand by your word for once, at least for one season, and then go from there because the worst case scenario, and I understand you're dealing with a LeBron James win now dynamic, but the worst case scenario is you've kept your 2029 pick and now in the summer you have three picks to use for an actual superstar. And if DeJounte Murray is still there, you can still get DeJounte Murray if you want, you know? So any thoughts on what I just posed?
Yeah, those are all really good points. I think one thing that really got me thinking is that mentality where the trade deadline stuff is definitely weighing heavy on a lot of our guys. I think one thing that hasn't really been talked about is LeBron's play has been really up and down. Like, and he's our leader. And as amazing as AD has been, and I've been one to be critical of him, he's been phenomenal, like on both ends, like offensively, yes, defensively. He's bringing it every night. LeBron is the one who's been super up and down, especially now where I feel like it's really, really hurt the team. And when he doesn't bring his A game, and it's not even just offensively, even though our offense has been in the gutter.
It's mainly defensively, you're right.
It's mainly defense. Like, he's supposed to be our secondary backline guy. And Ham doesn't play lineups with Vando in it with our starters, so there isn't that other guy who can help us out in our backline. So I feel like we've just been hemorrhaging points, like whether it's in the paint or off kickouts, like for easy corner threes, which has hurt us. And you know, we're always, you know, this team has like kind of, at least in January, right? Like if we give up a big lead or if we're down a deficit, we come out in the second half super flat, or we start the game super flat. And that's like, you know, it's just not our night and we're not going to really press the gas. Whereas you remember, like in the beginning of the year, like they would press the gas in the second half, even though we kept on consistently losing the first quarters, second quarters, they would press the gas and play like super hard with effort and focus and all that stuff. And remember like all the takes that were coming out with like Cam Reddish and all that stuff. Like we were an exciting team that, like, I don't know if this is a true stat, but like, I think D'Lo and Cam were like in the top 10 in terms of deflections and stuff like that, which is kind
of
crazy.
Yeah, they were. Half of the season, yeah.
Yeah, and it just spoke to like their effort, and that's clearly not there anymore. And, you know, you can kind of point to, is it a Ham thing? Is it the trade deadline thing? But I feel like LeBron's our leader. LeBron has to kind of be that guy to galvanize and step up. And I do agree, like once this trade deadline passes and if we do make moves or if we don't make moves, I think our guys are definitely going to step up and just buy in and just kind of like go at it like game by game. And like, let's try to give our best effort to win and try to make some noise. I'm just worried now because, you know, alternatively from last season, like this West is so deep. Like there are a lot of good teams. Like last year, there wasn't this much competition in terms of the West. So that's definitely a concern, but a lot of the other points you raised, like, I agree with. I hope we can definitely make some sort of decision on where we want to go in terms of the team.
Yeah, and to your point, you know, maybe the thing that gets LeBron James out of this little funk is a trade and getting a clutch Klein and DeJounte Murray, right? So that's one option that kind of lends to your line of thinking. But yeah, I agree with you. The Lakers have to hit their stride now. It doesn't help that, again, LeBron James is out tonight against the Clippers, but you know, whatever. But with regards to DeJounte Murray, like, my sentiments on this guy change day by day. One day I question whether it's worth swapping the skills D'Lo brings to the table for DeJounte, because on top of that, you're also adding more assets. Other days I watch his recent gameplay and all of those game winners where he's pulling up from three and I'm like, okay, let's do this and never look back. But again, I think with a player like DeJounte, you have to take into account mid-season adjustment and him having to get acclimated with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, the team, most importantly, Darvin Ham. I'm a bit lukewarm on his fit with AD and LeBron. In the worst case scenario, he's like a richer man's Russell Westbrook to me, potentially, though I can already see the appeal to him. I just find it funny that we're potentially going from trading a downhill attacking athletic guard for a skill guard back to an athletic downhill attacking guard in DeJounte. I guess my biggest worry is what happens when he has to adjust to giving the ball up to not only LeBron James, but Austin Reeves. So far in Atlanta, he's been the second guy. I don't know if he's, I mean, obviously in this scenario, he's going to be the third guy. He'll be the second ball handler. How is he going to adjust to not necessarily having the reps and rhythm that he had before? You know what I mean? I am very encouraged by his 3-point spike, though. He has upped his volume. He's like hitting 2.4 threes a game on like almost seven attempts. He's shooting 38% from three. The most encouraging stat to me on DeJounte Murray is he's shooting 39% from three on pull-ups, but he's also shooting 38% on three from catch and shoots, which is very important on the LeBron James team because you're not going to have the ball in your hand that much and you're not going to be able to swaggy pee shake and bake into that 3-point shot as much as you had previously. So I really like that. I just know that there's going to be an acclimation period. And, you know, maybe this year is shot anyways, and this is more about the long-term right? Like you get DeJounte acclimated now. He's on a 4-year deal that his extension actually kicks in this summer. And so from that point of view, I can definitely see it happening. I'm just a little bit more dubious on whether the Atlanta Hawks will actually do this deal. And I feel like the Lakers are being used as a smokescreen because from what I've heard, even if the Lakers include the 2029 first, there are other teams out there who can beat that package. And I know there's been a lot of smoke on pretty much making this deal a done deal between the two teams. I'm just kind of pumping the brakes a little, because as we've seen in the past, this may be an AD scenario, or this may be one of those Rob Pelinka things where that's not actually the deal that comes to light, you know? And one thing I'll end with regards to this topic as we close this first part out is I just posed this on Twitter. It's gaining a lot of traction, but I put an interesting what if scenario for an alt package between the Lakers and the Hawks. And I understand why it hasn't been pitched for a variety of reasons, but so far it's always been about D'Lo and DeJounte, right?
Yeah.
But I started thinking about what if you swap D'Lo and put in Rui Hachimura in his place instead, because they make the same amount of money. Rui Hachimura has not been used correctly this year anyways. You know, Darvin Ham has struggled to find minutes for him. We have a lot of forwards, actually. If Rui's gone, that hasn't been a problem for Ham. You know, Darvin Ham will use Torian Prince, Cam Reddish, Jared Vanderbilt, and Rui and Christian Wood. The Lakers have been searching for another ball handler, right? They've been searching for that guy off the bench. Well, what if you just trade Rui for DeJounte Murray, add whatever picks you need to, and all of a sudden you have a backcourt of DeJounte Murray and Austin Reeves, or DeJounte Murray and D'Lo, and Austin Reeves is playing that role, that connective role off the bench as the sixth man, and we have reached peak fever dream for Darvin Ham of being able to play a three-guard lineup. But in this in this scenario, hey, check this out. It's not Dennis Schroeder. It's DeJounte Murray in that spot.
Yeah.
You know? So for me, it's like, I know why that hasn't been pitched, because one, Rui Hachimura is not an expiring contract. Who knows if the Atlanta Hawks even want Rui Hachimura? Does DeJounte Murray even want to be on a team with D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves? You know what I mean? Will D'Angelo Russell pick up his player option if he's like, wait, I'm sharing the backcourt with DeJounte and Austin Reeves? There's a lot of reasons why this angle hasn't been pitched, but I do find it interesting just because that would make our guard crop even more dynamic. Like pretty much the skill set that we've been looking for in terms of like, oh, let's get Colin Sexton and Bruce Brown or whatever. It's like, what about DeJounte Murray, D'Angelo Russell, and Austin Reeves? Your quick thoughts on that, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, one question I had, because I did see that post. What would happen with Gabe Vincent? Is he included too?
Yeah, Gabe Vincent would be here, but I guess in this scenario, you would then use Gabe Vincent in a margin move for whatever else you do.
For whatever else. Okay. No, dude, I actually love that because obviously it would take a lot for Atlanta to buy into that because it looks like they want to clear the books and stuff like that. But if for some reason they get drunk and they just drug dial and accept it.
Or we find like a third team, right? Third teams usually help assuage these things.
Could work too, yeah. Like if they rerouted Rui to New York Knicks or who else has Charlotte, they have some expirings as well. Yeah, so I think that would be awesome because in terms of like our guard play, we kind of check all the boxes, right? We have our, you know, finesse, skill set, playmaking, D'Lo guard. One point I forgot to mention, and I think you alluded to earlier, D'Lo has been probably our best guard in getting the ball to AD. And that's something that I do not see accounted for in any trades. And obviously, I don't also see like LeBron taking full on like permanent point guard duties as well. But that's something that I feel like has to be part of the calculus. So that's number one. So we would definitely have that within our bucket. And then now you have DeJounte Murray, who is that super quick athletic guard. I was watching him last night because obviously, you know, there's so much smokescreen on all this stuff. But like against the Kings, you know, the Kings aren't like the best defense. But like I just like to see that burst from a guard to just get to the rim whenever he wanted, which was nice to see. And think about it this way too, like Trae Young wasn't playing, so like he's getting like number one attention like on defense, and he was kind of like getting whatever shot he wanted, which was nice, because like on a team on the Lakers where it's LeBron, AD, and all these other players, like I understand like the questions that you had with like the fit and not having the ball as much, but like I feel like he's not going to get as much defensive attention, which I think a lot of people will make in terms of like pros. So you'll have that, and then Austin Reeves finally gets to play that connective glue position. I think that kind of mimics what we had last year, right? Like we had three guards. We had Dennis Schroeder, who is that quick burst athletic guard who could draw a lot of fouls and get to the basket whenever he wanted. We had D'Lo and Reeves. I think what worked for us and what we made us go on that great run is, we just needed two of those guards to just produce like baseline, like average stuff. Right now, we've relied heavily on two of them right now, Reeves and D'Lo. And it just, the fit's not there because, you know, they're both bringing a lot of the same stuff. And it's hard for, you know, either one to hang with like these athletic guards on opposing teams. Now you kind of have that mix mash of whatever works, and you know, I wouldn't be mad at Ham picking two of those guys or even three of those guys to play on the floor with LeBron and AD. So if that would work, I would be so on board. And then you know what, if you know, we can't figure anything out for D'Lo in the offseason, it wouldn't be that bad for him to walk away. But
that's true, because the Lakers want to save money.
Yeah, they want to save money. So but if we can figure out a signing trade, that'd be awesome too. So
yeah.
But yeah, no, I think the options are endless there. And you would raise the ceiling of the team a boatload with that move.
Yeah, kind of a pipe dream, but it's very intriguing and interesting to think about, because all these players make the same amount of money. It's just about the assets that you tack on top of them, right? So yeah, with that said, Omar, thank you for joining me for this first part of the show. We will have Omar on again to talk more in-depthly about trade targets. But for now, we're going to take it to break. And then when we return, I'm going to debut our Lakers Legacy Patreon guest spot. So stay tuned for that. We'll talk more to DeJounte Murray and more about the state of the Lakers. So Omar, I will catch you later.
Peace.
See ya.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, folks, we are back, and today we're trying something new out for the very first time, and we're going to be bringing in some of our loyal listeners to the Lakers Legacy podcast on for some guest segments on this show, specifically those who have supported us through Patreon so diligently over the last few years. And again, you can do that at patreon.com/TheLakersLegacyPodcast. If you have been a loyal, longtime Patreon subscriber to the Lakers Legacy podcast and you're wondering why you haven't gotten an invite yet, bear with me. I've been very busy recently getting engaged, moving, wondering whether I can even keep this show going. So Bear with me as I trial this process out and see whether I even realistically have the bandwidth to uphold it. But given all of that, I will try my best to reach out to the lot of you who have diligently supported us throughout the years to schedule some time on the pod at some point, even if it takes the next 5 years. So with that said, today, serving as our patient zero for these Lakers Legacy listener guest spots, we are excited to bring on one of our loyalist Lakers Legacy podcast Patreon subscribers, Mr. Daniel Liegman. Daniel, I should have asked you how to pronounce your last name before we got on here, but you know what? I hope I did it right. Daniel, welcome to the show. How are you doing and how do you feel about being patient zero for these Lakers Legacy Patreon guest spots?
I feel good. I hope that I'll be a good guest and really bring something new to the table here. Excited to be on. I've been a listener to this podcast for some time now. The first time I heard of you guys was from Pete Zayas, Laker Film Room. I think that you did a collab one time with you guys, or multiple times. And I think that one of those collabs, I ended up listening to one of you guys. One of the things I really thought you guys brought to the table was high energy and just a general optimistic and enthusiastic fan perspective, whereas someone like Pete Zayas or someone like Kranzich, who I also listen to, tend to be more analytical in their thinking, whereas I feel like you come at it from a different angle of being really fan-centric, and I've really appreciated the content that you've been putting out.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I'm glad that we're able to bring something new to the table, and especially in this very crowded Lakers sphere, I know everybody brings something to the table, and so I'm glad you were able to resonate with our enthusiasm, excitement, and general jovial nature on this podcast, even though there have been times where we have ranted and just been kind of mad. But even in those times, we still try and be fun about it, you know? So Daniel, thank you so much for listening to us over the years. And we're glad that, you know, you were able to find us through Pete Zayas, who is great. Laker Film Room, obviously. Did I say your last name right, by the way? Is it Liegman? Or
you said the last name. Spot on. Congratulations.
Okay, great. That's all I'm focused on right now. Okay, well, that said, why don't we get on with this segment and this show? Daniel, instead of me moderating and leading the show like I typically do, I want to open the floor up to you first and see if you had anything particular you wanted to ask me about or talk about. At the time of this recording, the Lakers are 22-22. We just beat the Portland Trailblazers last night. Blew them out off the backs of another tremendous D'Angelo Russell performance. He had like 34 points, 8 assists, 6 of 11 from 3. That is the stage that we're setting right now. We are currently on trade D'Angelo Russell, DeJounte Murray watch 2024. So if you want to start there, we can. Otherwise, if there's anything else you've been dying to give your take on, please let me know.
Yeah, I think that DeJounte Murray is just a natural place to start. I think that it's interesting. It's quite funny the way that we set this up because against the Blazers, D'Angelo Russell was probably our best offensive player. And yet we are seeking to trade D'Angelo Russell. DeJounte Murray is a very good offensive player in his own right, but I don't think he fits as well with LeBron James and Anthony Davis needing touches as well, just because he's not as good as an off-ball shooter, which is really important for this team, especially given the fact that no one else on this team is really highly prolific as a shooter, and the team in general just struggles to shoot. So I don't necessarily think that that's the move, like, on paper. At the same time, however, I feel like we do need some kind of move in order to give this team a jolt. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering your thoughts on how you feel about that.
Yeah, I think I'm with you with regards to if we just put everything in a vacuum, D'Angelo Russell and how he's been playing in the last 5 or 6 games since he returned from injury and how he's been playing since Darvin Ham has given him the requisite minutes he deserves to actually get a rhythm. That is the type of player, this 25.6 assist shooting something ridiculous. We don't even need this player to shoot, you know, 55% from the floor, which D'Angelo Russell has been doing. But this 25.6 assist player who can space the floor, who's dynamic shooting the ball, dynamic in the mid-range, the player that D'Angelo Russell has been in the last six games is essentially the player that the Lakers need. And so it does feel a little bit weird that we might be ready to ship that player off for a player who stylistically and skill set wise, I think on paper, statistically, you'll say, oh, that's DeJounte Murray because he averages 22 points and 5 assists, 6 assists, right? But I think stylistically, he's very different from D'Angelo Russell. Now, he is shooting a career high, I think 38% from three this season at a pretty high volume. But we've seen before what happens when we rely on statistics like that from outlier years. Like, I believe when we traded for Dennis Schroeder, he was coming off a career high 39% from three with the OKC Thunder off the bench, right? And we all saw what happened with that. And we realized once Dennis Schroeder came to the Lakers, you kind of, after watching him day in, day out, you're like, oh, that shot release is pretty slow. Defenses are not really trusting it. Can we say the same about DeJounte Murray? He's probably still a better shooter than Dennis Schroeder overall, but the same sort of concerns exist. And really, when you boil it down, D'Angelo Russell is just the better shooter, right? He's currently leading the Lakers in three-point shooting at 41% from three, also making the most threes on the team, 2.4 threes made a game. So for the Lakers to be shipping off their best three-point shooter, their best non-LeBron James playmaker, a guy who seems to uphold the locker room chemistry pretty well and who guys generally like, especially Austin Reeves, the built-in chemistry is there. It does seem a little bit peculiar, and I do wonder about how this will change the atmosphere of the team moving forward for the rest of this season. But my biggest concern with DeJounte Murray is probably his fit with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, because he is a player that needs the ball in his hands. He's a player, again, who doesn't space the floor as well as D'Angelo Russell. And we know right now, Daniel, that D'Angelo Russell at his best is an easy fit with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that you didn't quite touch on that I feel like is kind of implied is that the Lakers' acquisitions tend to lose a solid 5 to 6% off of their normal shooting percentage whenever they come here. I don't know why that is. It's some type of curse. But there are very few players that have survived the Lakers' shooting curse and have successfully shot what they usually shoot elsewhere. So that's another factor that we need to take into account when we discuss DeJounte Murray. I think that with regards to D'Angelo Russell's fit, I think that the problem is essentially the Denver series. Mm-hmm. Like, because he was fine for most of that playoff run, and then he just completely cratered in Denver, unfortunately, which led to us being swept. And so the reality is that D'Angelo Russell on this roster is kind of like the swing player that sort of defines whether or not the Lakers play well on any given night. You know, because if D'Angelo's got it on, then we got it on. But if D'Angelo doesn't have it on, then we don't have it on. And so there's this real sense of anxiety around his playoff performance. And I don't have the exact numbers around DeJounte Murray's playoff performance, but perhaps we could talk a little bit more about that if you happen to know anything about the Atlanta Hawks, that I don't follow them specifically too well in terms of DeJounte Murray's playoff performance.
Yeah, so he's only been to the playoffs three times. His first year, he wasn't even really a starting level player. He was only averaging 15 minutes and averaged 5.7 points, 2.5 assists. The next year, he made it to the playoffs as well at age 21. He still wasn't a starting level player, averaged 7.8 points. He did make the playoffs with the Hawks last year. They played five games where he averaged 23 points, 6.8 assists, 7.2 rebounds, 2 steals on 44.7% from the field and 37.8% from three, hitting 2.8 threes a game, which is pretty good. But again, that's a small sample size of five games, and the Atlanta Hawks obviously lost. So we're not really working off of a lot of data here with DeJounte Murray. But to your point, we are working off of some data of having seen D'Angelo Russell through two or three playoff stretches where he's kind of fizzled at the end. I will say, though, that the personnel last year and the coaching rotations probably exacerbated the problem for D'Angelo Russell. And if we're looking at previous Lakers point guards who have not played defense like D'Angelo Russell, I will point you to the 2019-20 championship season with Rajon Rondo, who didn't play defense that entire season, but ended up being pretty pivotal to that entire championship run. And the reason why he was able to stay on the floor all the way to the end of the finals was because he was flanked by guys like Alex Caruso, KCP, Danny Green, Kyle Kuzma. So I'm of the opinion that D'Angelo Russell, even in a championship Lakers team, on a championship Lakers team run, I still believe D'Angelo Russell can work. It's all about finding the right pieces to flank him with, which I think this year's Lakers team has. It's about finding the right pieces around him, but also it's about utilizing him correctly, which I'm not sure Darvin Ham has done this season or last season, which is probably why we're at this sort of crossroads here of having to ship D'Angelo Russell out to see if another piece will fit. But I'll cap things off on the DeJounte Murray talk here and say that while I'm very wary of the fit of DeJounte Murray, I do understand the just practical implications of why this deal has to be done, because D'Angelo Russell is on an expiring deal. He does have a player option next year, but given the way that Darvin Ham has jostled his minutes back and forth this season, jostled his role back and forth, you do wonder whether D'Angelo Russell would be open to even returning next year. So that's something the Lakers have to keep into account, that he potentially is just an expiring contract and you want to be able to use that salary slot for something and not just have him walk at the end of the day. And so because of that, I understand swapping D'Angelo Russell for a guy like DeJounte Murray, who's on a multi-year deal. His extension kicks in next year. He's only making, I believe, like $25 million the first year, and then it escalates from there. He does have a trade kicker. But all that to say, I do understand the practical implications of trading for another player who's more of a downhill paint attacker, more aggressive, and who's on a longer-term deal. And if this doesn't work out necessarily in the next 1 or 2 years, you can still flip down the line, right? So that's where I stand on the deal. I understand them having to make it. I'm not thrilled with having to attach other assets like the 2029 first, or even adding like a JHS or Max Christie to the deal. But the Lakers have kind of cornered themselves into this spot because of how lackluster they've played this season and how the chemistry just hasn't been there and all that. So do you have any last thoughts on DeJounte Murray and I guess the inevitable deal that has to be made here?
Well, DeJounte Murray is essentially like a super size Dennis Schroeder in kind of filling that hole on the team, which I think is a real hole. Unfortunately, Gabe Vincent, who was supposed to be kind of that dude, only with a little bit more emphasis on three-point shooting and a little bit less emphasis on downhill attacking, has been out all year, and I don't think he's coming back this year. But yeah, overall, it just kind of feels like a kind of move that the Lakers shouldn't really have to make, but they have to make because it kind of feels like they need to do something to shake up the team.
Right.
But I don't feel like there's any good option here in terms of rolling with the current team or trading for DeJounte Murray. Both have pretty profound weaknesses as a course of action generally.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page about our excitement being a little lukewarm, but also understanding that we've painted ourselves into this corner, right? I don't know if that's ever a good way to make decisions in life in general, you know, but unfortunately, this is where the Lakers are at. And I don't think I've ever seen a scenario, Daniel, where you are trading your third best player, who is your best three-point shooter, again, your best non-LeBron James playmaker, the guy who fits the best skill-wise with your up-and-coming guard in Austin Reeves, who pretty much is an understudy to D'Angelo Russell. I've never seen a scenario where clearly you've seen this guy work with this team. Once you've given him the usage and the ball and the role, he has uplifted your team. And because of the way the season has gone, you unfortunately have to trade him. So it's just a weird circumstance because this is not like the Russell Westbrook situation last year, right? Where it's like, it didn't matter how well Russell Westbrook would have been playing, we knew the end scenario with Russell Westbrook, right? And I mean, just on paper, Russell Westbrook wasn't playing well for the team. The team wasn't doing well. They were upheld by tremendous performances by Anthony Davis and LeBron James. We knew that a deal had to be made. And so to be in this situation where D'Angelo Russell does have an objectively positive impact on this team and you're trading him away, my thing is, I just hope that we've done our due diligence on really vetting DeJounte Murray out. And I'll do my own analysis and breakdown of his tape once I dive in deeper into his play. But this is a 4-year commitment. So I hope that we've really thought things through, because we are going to be adding extra assets. And so, yeah, we'll see where this goes. I think once he's in a Lakers uniform, we will naturally snap into place and be excited about his new play style and what he can bring. It just feels like awkward timing right now, you know, where the Lakers seem to be finding footing again, but we're going to curtail that because of these larger issues that have been going on with the team. So to close this segment out, Daniel, is there anything else you want to talk about with regards to, yeah, you let me what you want to talk about to close this section out?
Well, I think the natural place to go is just a general tenor of the season. Like, coming into the season, I was pretty high on the team. I like the additions to the team. I like the fact that we seem to really embrace continuity for once, while also continuing to add to the team. There was a bit of a rocky start, but, you know, you get over it. And then it felt like it was really gelling. It was really coming together in the in-season tournament. That just kind of felt like a natural place where I thought the team would be, you know, highly athletic, just sprinting all around on defense, making life really hard on the opponent in terms of getting them out of their play style and also forcing them into this grinded out physical matchup whereby we could take control of the game through LeBron and Anthony Davis. And then all of a sudden it started to fall apart. LeBron and Anthony Davis seemed to be, you know, less excited about the games when the in-season tournament ended. And then we started to play lazy, and guys started to go through slumps. D'Angelo Russell went through a major slump. And then we had the portion of the season where Ham was tinkering with really strange and awful lineups that didn't work at all. You know, we had, like, no guard lineups. And it's like, what? Like, what is it that you're trying to accomplish here? And, like, I kind of get it. Like, I think that they were trying to accomplish, like, this really physical team that was going to, like, just destroy teams defensively. But that never ended up panning out because the team as a whole doesn't commit to doing the little things on a consistent basis. So it's always like an offensive rebound here, a turnover there, a lazy, you know, transition play here. And before you know it, you're down 10 points, you're down 15 points. You need to make a furious run to try to get back in the game. And most teams are good enough that you cannot allow them to get up by these large margins and then expect to win the game. That's just not how this works. And so I'm really frustrated with the fact that it feels like the team on paper has the right tools in the tool belt to find solutions and to find answers. And where there's no solution and no answer, you know, you can get a small, like bring Dennis Schroeder back on a trade for Gabe Vincent in a couple of seconds or something like that, if Toronto would be open to doing that. If the team were playing better, you could do smaller moves that make sense for this team. But because the team isn't playing well, and because Ham seems to have no idea how to get these guys to really gel into a cohesive whole, it just kind of feels like we're at this spot where no one seems to respect Ham anymore. No one seems to really care all that much anymore. You know, it's just kind of like if you get down a big lead, now the team just packs it in. Like even against the previous game against the Nets, I had to turn that game off because it was just like, well, okay, if the team doesn't care, why do I care?
Sure.
And so that's really frustrating. And thanks for letting me vent that, get it off my chest here on the podcast. Wondering your thoughts and if you have any additional elaborations you wanted to say about that.
I honestly, and this is why I think it's great to have, you know, listeners and fans come on like this, because I feel like you really spoke from the heart there and I could really sense your frustration. And I think you said it perfectly. The vibes and the chemistry are weird in the locker room, not necessarily from the players, but from how the situation has been handled from up top. I'll give a little bit of grace to Darvin Ham and say that it was always going to be a tough job to juggle how talented and deep this roster was. But when things started falling apart, it just felt like he only made things worse by overthinking and overcomplicating things. And from day one, it's frustrating as a fan to be sold on continuity and cohesion and then see the coach not rely on that. You know, he has given new players like Torian Prince and Cam Reddish the most minutes or the most deference over players who he relied upon last year. And I'm talking about even once everybody got healthy. I know, I understand that he had to rely on these sorts of players when everybody was injured. And I also understand coming out of that when everybody finally got healthy that he had to keep relying on them. But it didn't seem like there was ever an effort on Ham's part to try and toggle things back to the middle where we ever got back to that point of, hey, Vanderbilt, hey, D'Angelo Russell, hey, Austin Reeves, you guys all know how to play well together. Let's do this. You know, to this point, we're still begging for, you know, Ham to start that starting lineup that got us to the Western Conference Finals. And if not that, at least give them some time on the court together. We're starting to see baby steps of like, oh, Rui's there. Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, LeBron, AD, there's a unit that actually played well together in the playoffs. We saw them play well together against the Memphis Grizzlies. But unfortunately, it just feels like too little, too late. Why are we trying things this late into the season that we should have been trying earlier on? And by this point, as you mentioned, guys seem unhappy with their roles. Guys seem checked out. And unfortunately, at this point, you can't even pinpoint one person to blame. It just feels like something that has seeped through the entire locker room and into the players that I, for myself, I like the players on this team. I like their personalities. I like how they jive off of each other. I even like the play styles, but for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked. And now we're in this place where we're just going to have to press that default red button and say trade things to see if a shakeup will make things any better. I don't think it'll make things any better, Daniel, but I do think this is more of a trade for the forthcoming years and next year. You know, we start building our continuity now for the tail end of this year. Whatever happens to this year, we'll see. You know, maybe we make a run, maybe we don't, but we need to reshuffle the deck again. It kind of feels like that reshuffling, you know what I mean? Like reshuffle the deck, see if the chemistry and vibes can be sort of quelled or at least alleviated a little bit. And then because DeJounte Murray or whoever we bring in is on a multi-year deal, we'll take it from there and reset things. We'll try and reset the continuity, which doesn't make any sense, but you know, it's where we've put ourselves. So any last thoughts?
Yeah, I think that the one last thing I'll say is, because I didn't mention this initially and I wanted to get to it eventually, the reality is that the way that Ham has treated Rui Hachimura and D'Angelo Russell this season has been unacceptable. Mm-hmm. It's just not an acceptable way to treat players that you've invested a lot in. You've invested $20 million. You've invested $25 million into these guys. And then what? They get benched behind guys like Torian Prince and Cam Reddish? And I'm not even saying that. Like, look, Cam Reddish has had a perfectly fine season for what we expected from him. And he's really been an energizer bunny at certain points in the season that has really taken steps forward. But he cannot be playing over guys that we have invested a lot in that are just straight up better players. I feel like Ham gave me a lot of goodwill last season because you know what? He kept the team together. He kept the team competitive, even when the roster made zero sense at the beginning of the year. And then we, towards the end of the year, we started to play well after the trade deadline because the players started to make more sense and things started to gel. And then we ended up going to the Western Conference Finals and getting beat by a better, more cohesive Denver team. Like, that makes sense to me. Whatever. Last year was great. But this year, he has completely burned through all of that goodwill. We've had a relatively healthy season from both LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And it just feels like we've wasted it.
Mm.
And that sucks. So I'm sorry to leave on such a downer note, but that's just how I feel.
No, I think that's perfect. I think a lot of people probably resonate with your sentiment. I certainly do. I've said multiple times on this podcast that it just sucks because, like you mentioned, we've just wasted time. And I feel like we are wasting a good group of guys, like a genuinely good group of guys that people want to follow. Some of the onus is on them for sure for not, you know, playing up to their standards or whatever. But can you really blame them when, like you said, their roles have been jostled about and they were expecting to have solidified roles on this team? And so things have unraveled. The spool has unraveled to the point where, yes, we have to make a trade, I guess, when really the reality should have been we should have just been making, to your point, marginal upgrades on the side to keep our continuity and cohesion, because that was the theme of the season. And we're going to end another season, unfortunately, with a brand new team. So we'll see how they do. We will still be Lakers fans at the end of the day. but Daniel, thank you so much for hopping on. We've really enjoyed our time being able to chat with you. And we hope to do more of this type of stuff moving forward with our loyal Patreon listeners. Again, you can support us at patreon.com/TheLakersLegacyPodcast. Daniel, thank you so much for hopping on. Thank you so much for supporting us. Thank you for listening to us like you have been. And I've really enjoyed your insight and just your authentic and genuine passion. I think that was one of my goals in, you know, opening this up to our listeners. And I think you've done a great job of just, yeah, letting your voice be heard. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. This show is great. And I really appreciate everything that you do to add to the Lakers season, even during tough times like this. So thank you so much for having me on.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Daniel. We will catch you next time. And hopefully, when we talk again, it'll be much better vibes. See ya.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.